The League of Legends betting podcast is brought to you by my patrons at patreon.com/gelatilol. There you can find bonus content like in-depth articles on macro trend analysis and league previews, as well as thoughts on breaking news and the podcast picks before the show is released to platforms. You also get to support your creators more directly. patreon.com/gelatilol. That's G-E-L-A-T-I-L-O-L. Good afternoon, everybody. It is currently a little bit after 5 p.m. Eastern on Friday, April 19th, 2024. We have our last competitive match in the four major regions. Well, there's really five, but anyway, I digress. For 2024, it's the first half of the season, essentially. Just a little bit of housekeeping here before I get into this recap from this past weekend. I mentioned over the weekend that it's going to be pretty quiet around here for the next week or so. That said, the midseason invitational starts in the first week of May, so really only less than 2 weeks from now. I'm going to have a tournament preview out for that podcast, and I'll be doing the usual content for it. I'll be having the shows and the Patreon posts and everything for that. But for the next week or so, it's going to be pretty quiet on the podcasting front. I like to use this time. There's not a whole lot of downtime in the professional league season, so it tends to become a bit of a grind. It gets really, really grueling. So I like to take the time off to really like completely unplug and unwind and recharge the batteries and all that before we get into the rest of the season. The summer or the MSI into summer into Worlds is a long slog. There's a couple weeks before Worlds starts, but it is a long haul until roughly mid to late October. So I like to take this week to just unplug and unwind. So you won't be getting too much from me this week. I might do like a recap on the Patreon of like a betting recap, like what went right, what went wrong, that kind of thing. I like to like an autopsy, like a postseason autopsy, see what went well and all that. So anyway, I just want to mention that. That's why, there's probably not going to be a podcast in the next week or so, but I will definitely have something out for the for MSI, and I look forward to that. For those that don't know, MSI is like, it's like a mini world championship almost. We get, and actually, with the new format this year, it's going to be interesting. I think the winner getting seeded right to Worlds, I think there's going to be a lot of incentive for people to show up. Not that people don't show up for MSI or anything like that, but it's going to be interesting. It should be a really interesting tournament. I think we're getting the two best teams in almost every league, which is kind of cool. So it should be good. All right. I'm going to recap last weekend. Really, there was only like I'm going to touch on the three Sunday matches because I already recapped some of Saturday's matches for the Sunday show. I'm going to kind of work in reverse order here. We had JDG versus Top Esports. I was really stoked for this match. This happened on Sunday. But it was going to be really, really tough to top the LCK final that happened this weekend. I had to actually go back and after the LCK final, I actually ended up going to sleep. I had to rewatch this one in VODs. I didn't really get a chance to watch it live. I ended up opting to watch the LEC series instead. This was, the first two matches of this series were competitive, but like after like games 3 and 4, Top Esports just completely steamrolled. I really like the Urgot counter to Rek'Sai top. We've seen that a few times in a couple different spots with varying results. It's split 1-1 in this case, but I like the idea of it. I like the adjustments JDG made in this series too, despite losing games 3 and 4. I liked that they felt like they didn't have enough agency in the early game and kind of indexed a little bit more heavily into that and more CC and more ability to start fights in games 3 and 4. Didn't work out for them, but I like the adjustments. I think this series was quite literally just top just outclassed them on the day pretty cleanly. Top Esports looked really, really good in this series. 3-1 win for them. G2 versus Fnatic. This was a fun one. We had Fnatic, the full 5-part map spread ladder in this one. We ended up getting the +2.5 home in game 1 because they won game 1. Decisive win. Noah and June got just crazy fed. I think June had almost 30 assists in this one. Noah had like 12 kills or something. Zach top was just insanely disruptive. It was like you know, 50-50 or so through the first 20 minutes, but G2 made a nice pick, punished a couple positioning errors, got a really, really early Baron around, you know, 22-minute mark or so, and then choked this one. I actually think it was earlier than that. It would have been like 21 minutes, but and then kind of just choked the game out from there. Game 3 was similar to Game 2. They very, very close through 20, and then, you know, G2 just won the key fight, baited out a couple spots, and just closed the game out. This was kind of a cool draft. They sort of baited the Rek'Sai pick, or they sort of they baited out the Zac as like a way to deal with the Rek'Sai top to trade sustained tanks, and then kind of juked it with a Twisted Fate, which was still left on the board. Kind of a cool look. Oscar Runin finished this game with under 100 CS in almost a 28-minute game. You know, Zac can do pretty well with low resources. Top laners typically get screwed in these kind of goofy swap situations, but this was just him being taken out of the game completely. You're not going to do a whole lot in that case, even on a low resource champion. Game 4, it was looking so like G2 had a pretty sizable lead. They were up like 5,500 gold. I want to say it was like maybe 18, 19 minutes into this game, and they kind of messed it up. But I think like Hansama was just way too fed. He had like 17 kills on Jinx in this game. G2's comp super synergistic. Talia with Jinx is insanely strong because the burst damage is really, really good for setting up like the first reset for Jinx's passive, and very synergistic comp. And, you know, G2 got home 3-1. I think this was it was an entertaining series. This is really back and forth. These are the two best teams in Europe. I'm glad these are the two that are going to MSI. I think we probably maybe a little bit of a bad beat on the +1.5 maps. Probably should have got one of those coin flip games home in games 2 and 3. But, you know, ultimately, I think G2 were the better team on the day. They made fewer mistakes, and they deserve this final. I didn't think it came as any surprise that they won, but price was right to back Fnatic. We at least, you know, we basically zeroed on the day because of the 2.5 maps covered. I was just hoping we'd get more than that. All right, next up we had the good one. Oh, man, this was... I think this might be the most, this was the most entertaining series of the year, probably, so far, at least for me. And maybe I'm a little biased, I don't know. But T1 versus Gen.G, LCK Finals, this was an instant classic. Had all the storylines, the stadium was roaring. Games weren't the most high level. There were some mistakes, and you could tell the nerves were there, tensions were high. But back and forth nature of this matchup felt like an absolute battle. For as good as Chovy is and all the accolades that he's gotten, he's now won this head-to-head with Faker, I think, 4 times in a row now. Reasonable, strong case that he's the best player in the world right now. As good as he is, I thought this series was more on the backs of Keen and Canyon, particularly in games 4 and 5. You know, the comms that were made public, Chovy was the one that pitched the idea for Kha'Zix in the draft as a counterpick into Xin Zhao, that they ended up trusting each other and going for it. Worked incredibly well. And I think game 5 in particular, Keen just put Zeus in a dumpster. Like, this was... Keen, for those that don't know, Keen has probably been one of the best... Like, I think Keen's probably one of the best top laners of all time. I think he's been one of the best players in the world for basically his entire career. Maybe the last 6 years. Maybe not his first year. But he's basically been one of the best players in the world at any position for, you know, more than half of League's existence. In the modern era, I'll call it, right? Since, you know, season 7, basically. And he's never won a domestic or an international title. He's never won a domestic title, and he's never been to an international competition. And I might be missing, like, Olympics or esports, whatever, the Asia Games or whatever. But I might be missing. I forget if he's gone to those. But, you know, he's been one of the best players of all time, or really in that entire, I would say all time. I think he's been one of the best players at his position ever. He's been one of the best players ever. He's just never gotten there. That's like full Dan Marino kind of status, or was it hopefully it's more Jason Kidd. But yeah, like it's really, really cool. And I've said this a couple times this year, but it's really, really cool to finally see him on an excellent, like this year and last year, to finally see him on like excellent rosters has been like a real joy. Like it looks like he's having a lot more fun. He's not having a 1v9 carry games, and I'm excited because like this is a guy that like deserves it, and this was like this was the feel good story of this finals, was that, you know, he's finally climbed the ladder. I know they were showing the graphic where he's literally finished, every position in the LCK. He's finished, you know, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth in the LCK in his career, which is like, I don't think anyone's ever done that, which is kind of funny, but it's just really, really cool to see one of the best to ever do it finally get his. And in the way he did it, like this game five, you could just like tell he's like, he was not being denied in this game. Like you could just, game five, he was just like, no, I'm not, like, this is it. I'm doing it this time. And he took the game into his own hands. He went absolutely bananas in that final game. And yeah, it's just cool. Like I hope he can show well internationally and that there's not like, you know, first time jitters and all that, because like this, it's so cool to finally see him get a chance. And, yeah, I don't know. This was just a feel-good show for Keen. You know, I've been a Keen stan for a long time. But, yeah, great series. I think maybe the best of 2024 so far. Just, like, the combination of the level. While it wasn't the highest level series, the combination of, like, still a very, very high level series, the storylines, and then the actual games and series being exciting. We got five games. The stadium was going nuts. Like, this, I highly recommend watching this one again in full. This was a great, great series. Despite losing the bets. All right, moving on to Saturday, April 20th, 2024. We have the LPL Grand Finals for Spring 2024. We have Billy Billy Gaming minus 200 on the money line, minus 1.5 maps at plus 128. The minus 2.5 is at plus 382. Against Top Esports, plus 163 on the money line, plus 1.5 maps at minus 156. Plus 2.5 is at minus 525. The minus 1.5 is at plus 321. The minus 2.5 is at plus 901. BLG, a near-perfect 17-1 outright as favorites, 13-5 against the map spread. Top Esports have only been underdogs to BLG this season. They are 0-2 in those situations, but 1-1 against the map spread in those situations. So, obviously, the head-to-head, the first match between these two was all the way back in week one. It was a 2-1 BLG win. All three games are pretty lopsided stomps for the winner of each of those games. The first playoff match last week was a 3-2 back-and-forth slugfest of a series. Couple close games, couple stomps in that match, but Billy Billy won that one 3-2 as well. So, you know, before I touch on this specifically, as long and drawn out as the LPL playoffs are, the good thing about this format is that you almost always get the two best teams out of it with this extended, ridiculous double elimination bracket that they have, with all the different levels of buys and all that. The good thing about it is that you almost always get the two best teams in the LPL out of it, which, you know, for me as a purist, I like. Like, I know people hate the chalk and they like underdog stories and all that, but ultimately in League of Legends, where you have only two real international competitions a year outside of, like, the weird stuff, like the Asia Games and maybe this new thing that's coming out with the World Cup and all, the fact is, like, you want the best. We only get, you know, the two international tournaments. This isn't like Counter-Strike or Dota or other esports where there's stuff all the time. So you want the two best teams when you're there. And in this case, I think we're getting the two best from the two, from really the top three regions. So that's a good thing. These two have been the best teams in the LPL this season. I think they've been pretty clearly the best two teams in the LPL this season. You know, whether you want to include JDG or FPX in that tier as well is up to you. I don't. I think they're like, I kind of do. I think JDG are kind of in that same tier, but I think Top and Billy Billy have been pretty clearly the two best teams in the LPL. So, and the matches that we've seen between them have all been competitive and close. And, you know, I said a whole bunch of stuff. I broke down a whole bunch of different things, but like, as far as the actual handicap for this match goes, this should be a coin flip. Like, maybe you give Billy Billy a slight edge because they're going to have side choice for map one. And, you know, I can understand, like, wanting to make them favorites because they've won both the head-to-heads. And if you're doing any kind of ELO-based modeling, they're going to be the best team. But I think this price, like, based on the actual performance we've seen from these teams, I think this price is probably just out of line. I'd be betting Top Esports here. This should be a coin flip. Like, at worst, this should be, like, minus 130 Billy Billy. Maybe minus, like, if you want to be super generous to them, you could be like minus 150, make it a 60-40 fair. But like, I this is a coin flip match to me. I think both these teams are good. Both these teams challenge each other. Both these teams are, they're relatively evenly matched. This is a very similar handicap to the LCK final, where, like, I just think they're both, it's a coin flip. I think both these teams are basically pretty evenly matched. quantitatively, you look at the two of them, they're both extremely, extremely evenly matched. And you pretty much can't get much closer than this. My models literally made this a, like, near pick. I think, yeah, the filtered with playoff teams included, like the filtered sample made this a minus 102 fair. The non-filtered made top esports a minus 101 fair favorite. So, like, this is just about as close to a coin flip as you can possibly get quantitatively. Qualitatively, I think that's the case too. These two teams are similar. They play similar style. They have similar strengths. They test each other in similar ways. They're both versatile. They both can do a lot. They both have a ton of experience. There's really, like, everything besides side choice and, like, the actual results say that this should be a 50-50, and we're getting a 66-33 price here. Less the VIG, rather. So, like, really, like, I think this should be a coin flip. Maybe, you know, give a slight nod to BLG for having gotten the wins and having side choice for map one, but, like, this should be closer to a 50-50. So I played top pretty heavy here. Top esports, I played plus 1.5 maps at minus 156 for 2 units. I played top on the money line at plus 167 for half a unit. Top minus 1.5 maps at plus 321 for 0.2 units. And top esports minus 2.5 maps at plus 901 for 0.1 units. As far as derivative plays go, there's a few options on the board I like. I didn't ultimately play anything. Models loved Dragon Unders because these two teams steamroll more often than not. The last match we saw between these two, the shortest game was like more than 34.5 minutes. I don't think we're going to see that again. I think more realistically, we're going to get a couple of stompings in this series. So some of the props are priced like we're going to get super long games, and I think you can take advantage of that if you want to play that angle. But I think similar, and I'm going to mention this like because the kill totals have a similar thing. This is kind of a bimodal distribution, right? I don't think we're going to get a lot of results that land like on the median or the mean for these teams. I think these are either going to be lopsided shit stompings or they're going to be long, drawn out, competitive back and forth games. So if you think it's going to be more of the latter, kill total overs, neutral objective overs, that's how the market is pricing those. So if you think that that's going to happen, I wouldn't back those. But if you think that we're going to get like more than a few unders, the plus money odds on these are excellent. I'm not personally going to play this myself. I'm going to try to feel this out and maybe play it live. But like pre-flop, I would very heavily lean toward like maybe the first two games, try to split 1-1 or hit 2-0 to the unders. I also think there's like a weird dynamic when you have like the extra week for both teams to prep. One of them is just going to have better prep more often than not, even if both teams are good at it. Like one of the teams just going to have a better idea and it's going to be on the other to adjust. So I think the first two games in particular, I would lean toward like unders for like Dragons, Barons, Towers, time total, kill totals, etc. I didn't personally play any of this, but I'm really, really thinking on it. I might end up changing my mind on that and playing something later tonight. If I do, I'll send an update to Patreon subscribers. But for now, I'm just going to play the side and I'm going to think a little bit more about the derivatives. This is going to be the last match for, you know, whatever it is, 10, like 12 days or so. I'm not going to have any podcasts the next week or so. I'm going to take this time to recharge here, get ready for MSI, but I will be back for MSI. It starts the first week of May. Hopefully I will see you then, and until then, enjoy this match tomorrow.